So we left off yesterday with the juice, the question of juice. So it seems certain juices, juices of the wine type, oil, wine and oil, are viewed as still fruit, whereas others things unlike wine and oil are shackle, are not viewed as fruit anymore. So what's going on? We see, so really, the wine really has two issues involved with it. One is that it gets a special bracha, which is to say, Bari Pri Hagafen, Hagefen, Hagafen. And the other is that it is still viewed as fruit, and so too oil, but oil does not get a special bracha, but rather retains the same bracha as if one had eaten it as an olive. So you take an olive and pop it in your, before you pop it in your mouth, you say Bari Pri Eitz. Good.
We got a complete full house here.
Oh my goodness, we got Rabbi Rosenthal and Alicia. Hi guys. So
and Sean and Mendel.
Well, Sean and Mendel, we I'd already said hello to before, but I didn't realize that in addition to Rabbi Rosenthal, Alicia joined as well.
I'll see you tomorrow, Rabbi Pinney and Tinek.
You gonna be in the Shabbaton?
Unofficially, like in the tomorrow afternoon, I'll be at your class and maybe some other things.
Very nice.
Okay, so. So we were talking about the juices. When is a juice fruit, and when is a juice not fruit, but rather a byproduct, and therefore getting a shahakol. Which is really the first step towards dealing with the interesting phenomenon of.
Can you say that again? You said, when is a juice fruit and when is a juice shahakal?
A byproduct. And it gets shahakal. It's not fruit anymore. Well, in other words, when something gets shahakal, it is no longer a fruit, as we saw in the halacha before. Namely, what do you say shahakol on? Things which do not come from the ground. So what you see from this, from the case of juice, is that even if something, in fact, what grew from the ground, if one processes it, if man processes it in a certain sort of way, loses its identity as a natural object, and it becomes something new, which is no longer related, which is no longer viewed as something which came from the ground, and therefore it might as well be.
I thought we make shahakol on oranges, whether it's orange juice or fruit.
Oh no, on an orange, you say Bari Pri Eitz.
No, he's talking about the juice, Rabbi. There's a machlokas achron about whether or not on the orange juice you make a Bari Pri Eitz or a shakal.
Well, wait, say it again, Mendel. Did you say you were asking if you say what?
No, I said an orange. I said an orange.
An orange. An orange.
Yes.
So an orange, you definitely say Bari Pri Eitz. Without a question.
Who knows?
because it comes from a tree, just like an apple or any other fruit, tree fruit, with the exception of like another tree fruit.
All right, make sure to cut my mouth shut.
That's okay. So, but once you get into juices, then you get in. There's two types of juice, and that is there's juice which are like wine and oil, and there's juices which are not, right? And which is to say, there are certain juices which are viewed as still being fruit, which is to say, wine and oil. And there's certain juices which are viewed as a byproduct. And are no longer, their identity as a fruit is gone because of the processing. They're made into an artificial object, and they might as well be cheese or meat or eggs. They get a shackle.
Well, you don't still say Puri Nefoshos on, I'm sorry. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Good. Finish your thought.
I don't know what I'm talking about. So I will.
Okay. Okay, so
keep my mouth shut.
Okay, yeah. So you do have to keep in mind that I'm just talking about the bracha beforehand, not talking right now about the bracha after. And there's certain complexities of the bracha after that. The fruits that come from the land of Israel have their own bracha after, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the bracha before. Now the bracha before, essentially. The way it works is, as the Rambam said in the very beginning, Perek Aleph of Hilchos Brachos, and it's an important point, as we saw later as well, namely, that the way that the praise works is that one praises the object of one's enjoyment. And in other words, that's the praise. And the way the mechanism works is that in the Rambam calls it in Perish Mishnayos, it's a tikkun, it's a repair or an improvement of the object. Tikkun inyani, it's an improvement of the food in the conceptual world. Namely, one properly conceives of the object. And in properly, in other words, when one says one bracha, one doesn't just think something in one's head. One reframes one's concept and perception of the external object and sees it through a new framework. One sees it as a creation, Bari creates. One sees it as a bria of Hashem, rather than being simply a resource. One reframes it as a bria, as a creation. And in reframing it, that reframing, and it's not just a matter that a person has to be in his own mind thinking certain things. It's that he must see the object, the external object, like Adam Rishon. He must name it as it really is. And for a moment, think of it as it really is. Conceptualize the external object as it really is. And that perception of the object, removal of filters, which distort my perception of the object and restore it to its natural and proper status as being a creation of God, rather than being distorted by my entitlement, that allows the fruit to be. That is the praise. The praise is the reframing praise, and that allows the fruit food to be eaten. Now, the way in which one does that is with reference to the nature of the object. So if it's a naturally occurring object from the ground, one makes reference to the mechanism of creation, be it through God's creation of a tree, Bari Priyeitz, be it from the God's creation of the ground, Bari Priya Adama, whether it be through the unique creation of the vine, Bari Priya Gafen, by direct reference. Certain things which have no mechanism, was because either they're not coming from the ground, or we've processed them. Gedesha Hakomi Abdvaro. They don't have a specific reference to the creation mechanism. That they're just a creation, Hakol Ni'ab Dvaro. They don't have a particular, they're not in the category of things which are uniquely delivered to man through the ground, but there are other stuff. Now, but all of that presupposes a certain amount of naturalness. In order to recognize the natural mechanism, it has to be delivered through the natural mechanism. And therefore, if I squeeze it, and I, in other words, I process it industrially, I remove the object from its natural province, and I make it into an artificial object. And that destroys it as a fruit in most cases. There's a certain set of cases in which it does not, namely wine and oil. Now why is that? Now, from the case of wine, you might think it's because of the elevated status of wine. Wine is an extremely valuable object. We see bracha on wine. We mersader shevach Hashem on the coast, be it Kiddush, be it at the Seder, be it after Berakas HaMazon. We toast on wine. We say Nisadar Dvarim. We say our words on the coast. In other words, we toast. We have a halachic toast of Shevach Lashem. But that's not why. And you can see that's not why, because of the oil. The oil is lowly, so lowly as a drink that one cannot even drink it by itself. One can only drink it as a component part of a mixture, and under a special circumstance of one's throat being sore, right? So I'll read it inside just to remind you. Halacha bet, halacha gimel. I'm sorry, halacha bet. Ve'al hashemen, on oil, who mevarech batchila, he says the bracha before, berei priyates. In other words, the oil is still a fruit. It's still priyates, still pre. Even though it's been squeezed out. Bamedvar mamurim, under what circumstance? Shayachoshesh bigrono, when he has a sore throat. Vishata shemen imeshlakos, he drank the oil with soup broth, with vegetable broth. Shari niyana b'shtiyaso, he's enjoyed his drinking. Avalima shasa Hashemen levado, but if he drank it all by itself, oshala chashish begrono, where his throat was not sore, v'verechalav shakol, he says shakol. Why? Shari lo niyana b'tam Hashemen, because one has not enjoyed the oil's flavor. What does that mean? So if you have a sore throat, suddenly your palate changes? In other words, it's a circumstance which, an unusual circumstance, in which your interest is on the oil. Because normally, we don't think of oil as a drink. It's the opposite extreme of wine. Wine is the king of drinks. Oil is the lowliest form of drink, so lowly, there's only under special circumstances, namely it's mixed in a vegetable broth so that it's not so strong that it's disgusting, and B, that one has particular interest in it only under those special circumstances where can one consider it to be a drinking of oil at all. But if one's throat is not sore, then it is so lowly as a drink, it'll be considered to be a tafel. When one puts it in the vegetable broth, it'll be a secondary flavoring in the vegetable broth, and the vegetable broth or the soup will be the main ingredient. And anything where you have the main ingredient and a tafel, as we learned before, mevarech al ikar, you say the bracha on the ikar, upateres a tafel, and that takes care of the tafel. So lowly is oil that it's always the tafel, unless there's a special and unique circumstance in which one would be interested in it. Namely, is it one has a sore throat or whatever it might be. So
why does he have to re-illustrate that case here?
Vikar and tafel?
Yeah.
He's not interested in the case of Vikar and tafel. He's the Vikar and tafel in this circumstance brings out, creates the case that he wants to bring out. Namely, he wants to bring out in the oil that it's not because, that it's a counterpoint to the grape, to the wine. It's not because of the elevated status of the drink that wine retains its identity as a pre. It's because of something else. Why? Because the case of oil shows you that even though it's the lowliest of the drinks and is only considered even to be able to be drunk under special circumstance of mixture, and when you're in a special circumstance having sore throat, it's hard to imagine a drink which is more lowly than that. Nonetheless, it still is considered to be a pre under that circumstance. So why is that? It's not because of its elevated status. It's because of a different characteristic of the oil. So he's bringing up the Ikar and Tefel, not because of Ikar and Tefel, but in order to construct a case, an extreme case of Hanaya, in which you can detect and understand and define which characteristic allows the juice to still be a pre.
The issue of Ikar and Tefel, though, it seems a little confusing because this thing by itself would be Shehakol. In most cases of Ikar and Tefel, the thing in and of itself would have a different bracha. So the bracha changes.
That's right.
It's really just a case of Hana'ah, isn't it? I mean, it's just that people don't enjoy drinking oil straight. But if you did, I guess what if you got incredible pleasure from drinking olive oil? I actually knew somebody like this. I mean,
right.
What if you just got incredible pleasure from it? Then you would, I assume you would say Berei Peri Ha'etz, wouldn't you?
A little bit hard to tell.
No, definitely not.
Because in these sorts of
the luck goes by the average person.
Not always.
Even by a bracha on food? I thought a bracha on food was very subjective. Like, you get pleasure from... No?
Right, not completely. But what Reb Rosenthal was saying is brought up by wine, in the case of Birkas HaMazon.
Right, that people are not kovei suud on it, on yain, since Batel Daita Kiyusa Kolodom, therefore you're not going to bench.
So the question arose in the Gemara. The Rambam doesn't raise the question, I don't think. But the Gemara asked the question, what happens if a person establishes his meal on wine? Because the Gemara establishes that wine actually has a similar characteristic to heyminim, that it satiates. Yain yisamach levav enosh, velechem levav enosh yisad. Wine makes the heart of man happy, and bread satiates a man. And they want to learn there that it doesn't exclude wine, but rather it shares that property as well. In addition to its simcha, it also is like bread. It's lechem levav enosh yisad. It's a soed too. So the Gemara asks, so what happens if a person utilizes that characteristic of sad, and wants to make a bracha on it? So the Gemara wasn't sure actually if it would or it wouldn't, if it was batla daita etzel kol adam or maybe not. So it was one of those ones, it's a teku. It's left for Eliyahu to decide. So but under other circumstances, there's circumstances where batla daita etzel kol adam is raised. But it's hard to tell in a particular case whether that principle would apply or not. My suspicion would be that it would in this case, though I don't have an absolute proof. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a machlokas among the Achronim, among the Latter-day Rabbis about that point, but I'm not sure. But let's just take the normal case, okay, Elisha?
Yep.
Which is the one the Rambam is bringing up, namely the vast majority of people do not view olive oil as a drink at all. And one would have to construct a special case in which it is enjoyable. Now, but the significance of that case, namely, is not that one has found a case of Ikar and Tefel. The significance of that case is that if you could find a material circumstance under which all people would be considered, in that circumstance of having a sore throat, would enjoy drinking that vegetable broth that has olive oil in it. And therefore, the car for them is the olive oil, because that's what they're drinking it for. Then that olive oil, even though it's an oil, and generally, if you squeeze out oil or fruit juice or thing from a fruit, and it would be a shahakol. Olive oil and olive oil alone would not. For example, if the same thing were done with sesame seed oil or corn oil, and you put it in that vegetable broth, you don't have olive oil. All you got is corn oil. And you put it in the same broth, and because you have a sore throat, you would say a shahakol on that. Why? Because the corn oil does not meet the criterion that olive oil does of still being pre, even under the circumstance. And almost all oils would be that way.
Okay, can I just ask a quick question? Because I don't have the text in front of me. So I just want to, the Rambam doesn't discuss the case, though, right, of whether somebody would get Hana off from it.
From the olive oil?
So that's an open question. Yeah, I mean, it's just somebody just got Hana off from drinking olive oil.
No, he doesn't discuss that.
He doesn't discuss it. He only makes the assumption that most people would not, and therefore says that if one put it with an item that would make it palatable, enjoyable for people, then its true nature would be fully realized or could be fully realized by declaring it to be Pari Hayetz.
That's right. And only,
okay.
If the guy,
okay.
And only if the guy's in a special circumstance of having a sore throat, an unusual circumstance which would interest him in the olive oil, because normally if you put olive oil in vegetable broth, your interest would be the vegetable broth.
Right.
So both have to be right there, just as he says it. Aval im shasa Hashem levado, if he drank the olive oil by itself, o shaloya choshish begrono, or even it's in vegetable broth, but his sore is not throat, is not sore, mevarech lev shakol, because he has not enjoyed the flavor of the oil. So one has to construct a very unusual case for there to be an enjoyment of oil. So it's a very interesting thing. So it's not because of the high status of the drink. This is a very low status of drink. So what is it that's special about it? So that's a topic of discussion the Rambam doesn't say. He doesn't say what the underlying principle is. He just says the fact of the case. So it seems that the principle is and whatever principle that is, it's going to have to share with wine. So that principle, so it's easier to see it in wine, and we'll see that it exists also in olive oil as well. Namely, that the when the thing is planted, grapes and olives, the most important feature that they are planted for is their oil, and that's not normally the case. Normally, the case is a person plants corn; it's for corn. One plants sesame seeds, or it's for sesame seeds, or whatever it is. It's a secondary usage. And additionally, he doesn't talk about it here, but it's talked about elsewhere in the Gemara. It seems that that's necessary, but not sufficient. It also has to be that the juice, that the fruit not only is intended for that use, but the juice exists in a certain manner in the fruit, namely that it exists almost ready to come out, like in the case of grape. The juice is already bursting to come out, and I guess they consider the olive oil to be the same. So, again, that's not absolutely unique, and that brings up the question that Reb Roslow was asking before about the orange juice. So, in the case of orange juice, would meet both of those criterion, namely, there's oranges that one eats. Those aren't the same oranges that are used for juice. There's special oranges that are called juice oranges. Those are planted for juice. So they're just like the olive oil and just like the grapes, planted for juice. Secondly, the juice has this characteristic of bursting like a little sack of juice already in the fruit. It's a primary feature of the thing. It's almost immediately there. It's not like, in other words, just to conceptualize what do you care? In other words, it's not like you are chemically breaking down the fruit into its subcomponents. But as it were, you're just, even naturally, it's a sack of juice, even naturally. The orange has that characteristic as well. So that comes down to a machlokas achronim. Namely, can one extract the principles of grape and olive oil, create an abstract principle and apply it to other cases? And in our yeshiva, we were no egg to say a bird creates on the orange juice, though not everybody holds that way. Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Can I ask another question? I would think that an even stronger case could be made for pomegranate juice, since it also has the characteristic of being one of the fruits associated with the land of Israel. I imagine most pomegranates are converted, and I'm not sure, into juice. It's certainly something which the juice comes out very, very easily.
Yes, it would certainly have that stack of juice kind of characteristic. Are they planted for that purpose? No, it's something to be explored. Now, that idea planted for that purpose is not limited to juice, but really is a characteristic of the processing. We're going to see it happen next as well with the soups and the mashed potatoes and all sorts of namely when a processing reaches that point. Not just where it creates a juice, extracts a juice, but it changes the appearance of the natural object. The same issue is going to arise as to, is that really the very nature of the fruit itself that it was planted for or not? And if it's not, then such a processing will make a new artificial object, which gets a shackle. And if it is, we'll see that it retains its bracha. And whatever that bracha might be it very pre-eight, be it very pre-atama, whatever it might be. So that's going to come up as we move forward. All right, gentlemen, our time is up. Thanks for your queries, and we'll look forward to seeing everybody again on Monday. Well, actually, Monday I'm going to be driving. Sir Breslow, can you take over?
Are you out that whole week?
I'm not out the whole week. I'm just coming back. We're staying overnight, so see the girls on Sunday. So I'm going to be driving on Monday, but I'll be back on probably Monday. I'll be home Monday night and certainly Tuesday.
Good. Bezer Hashem, hopefully, yeah.
Bezer Hashem,
if I'm available, I'm happy to run it. No problem.
Very good. Okay, gentlemen, have a Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Good Shabbos. Thanks. Bye-bye.